There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Hardwood Handicappers, VSiN's premier NBA betting podcast. Here are your hosts, Jonathan Von Tobel and Kelly Bidlin.
What's up, folks? Happy Friday. Welcome in. It is Hardwood Handicappers. You know the deal. Kelly Bidlin is here. We are recording on this Friday. It's a deep Friday slate, which we'll try to get into. It's actually not the sexiest slate of games in the world. When you have Indiana, Boston, San Antonio, Washington, Detroit, Toronto, Houston, Memphis, Charlotte, Dallas, Milwaukee, Utah, like there's not a lot going on in the day. The later schedule's a little bit better, but not by much. We get a big one in the Western Conference later today, or at least it would have been bigger if the Suns could have hung on, but that's not the case. And a massive game later tonight for the Oklahoma City Thunder taking on the Los Angeles Lakers. But we have stuff to get to. And I want to start, Kelly, if we could, with those Oklahoma City Thunder. I was charged with a task the other day. Ben Fox, our esteemed editor. I'm sorry. I just don't remember everybody's official titles. I had to text
VP
you.
Of something. VP of digital stuff.
There we go. I think that's officially. That's on his LinkedIn profile, I think.
I'm going to say that because I think that will be closer than anything else we could guess.
Man, one of these days, I want to be a VP. My dad's a VP, you know?
Oh, like, yeah, yeah, sounds, yeah. Yeah, really... just how there's so many VPs, and you're always like, well, who's the president of this
department? Who's the P?
There's never a P of this department. Right. There's just a VP of this department.
It's so true. like Ben, I thought, was like our main digital guy, but he's like the VP. You're right. And I'm like, well, then wait, who's above Ben in that room? Is it Bill? But I thought Bill was our COO.
Yeah, it goes further, yeah.
Yeah, but so regardless, we love our corporate bosses and overlords, as we call them. So Ben texted me the other day because, you know, you turned heads the other day. So you, Will Hill, and then subsequently myself, after you guys brought it up to me, bet the Oklahoma City Thunder to win the NBA Finals at 500-1. I didn't put a lot. I put $20 on it. You know, 20 to win 10,000.
Me too. I think I did 25. Wait. This is a chicken or the egg situation. When you texted me, I needed to figure this out. So you did bet that after I had texted you?
Yes.
About it? Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I don't know. JVT might have made this bet like a day before or something even knowing about it. Like, okay.
Nah, I wanted to test. I call them, they're not parlays, but I still call them. I call them friendship parlays.
Yeah.
So, you know, I like to, like, so for example, the other day when I was hosting with Jared Smith, I convinced him to put in a first to 15 on Michigan State over, first to 15 in Michigan State against Marquette. So that hit. And before that, I had convinced him, hey, let's do a friendship parlay on this over in Kentucky and Kansas State, which also hit. So, yeah, you know, I like to,
I call those FOMO bets. Cause like you don't want to be sitting on the desk with you while you hit that bet and you brought it up, right? And you're like, well, crap, now I'm sitting here.
Oh, see, I look at it from a different perspective. I do it for the sake of content. I think it's better that we're both kind of tracking it, right? Now, what I think would be fun, we should try this on Saturday, even though nothing is going on while we're on the air.
Right.
So one of these Saturdays, what we should really do is for content's sake,
head to head.
We should bet the opposite of something.
Well, we could maybe do a first to 10 on the FAU.
Kansas State game. I want the underdog. Okay. I called it.
Well, that's my Owls, bro.
That's your alma mater for one semester.
I took
right?
one class here. One class. No, not even a semester. A class. One class.
Well, a class is over the course of a semester.
Yeah, I don't even know. I think I took it during the summer.
Summer semester.
I had already started working. It was one of those I think I legit lied on my resume technically about me having graduated when I haven't graduated yet.
Nice. See? We do it all the time. I did that for a while too. Well, it's funny. I had a journalism professor who like really liked me, and yeah. she was like, you know, it was one of the times where I guess I will feel a little confident. She's like, you know, I see some really big things for you. You know, you're really good at this. She's like, don't stop going to school. Like if you get a job, and I'm like, I won't. And I did. So eventually, you know, go back, but yeah, whatever. you gotta do what you gotta do. What are we talking about? Oh, Oklahoma City Thunder friendship. Yeah. So I like to put these friendship parlays together. So when you and Will were in, I was like, let's do this for friendship. I'm in. And you know, it's not a bad thing. So Ben asked me to write about it. And instead of writing, because I think the initial thought was, hey, just write why you bet it. And you know, just like a basketball analysis thing.
Yeah.
But I was more curious. I was like, well, I'm like, let's just ask around. Like, let's just see some shops that I can talk to. Let's just like lick the finger and test the wind on what it's been like for them from the standpoint of Oklahoma City. And I actually got some interesting responses. Johnny Avello over at DraftKings, and he's quoted in my story. He told me, he's like, oh yeah, you know what? We're fine when it comes to the division. We're fine when it comes to the finals. He's like, but the two that we really get burned on are to make the playoffs and to win the Western Conference.
Yeah.
And his quote to me, Kelly, was they, the bettors, are betting them to win the Western Conference every day. So I don't know if that's just like $5, $10, you know, it's probably like $5, $10 bets every single day,
yep.
But they're piling up liability on them to win the Western Conference. John Murray over at the Westgate Superbook told me that they also had quite a bit of liability. He called it huge liability on the Thunder to win the NBA title. And in fact, just a couple of days ago, I assume this is Will Hill, took a $250 bet on them at 250-1 to win the NBA finals. So their liabilities piling up. And Circa, it was not as narratively driven to what we're talking about here. Circa does have liability on the Oklahoma City Thunder, but it's just from flyers throughout the entire year. You know, people taking long shots and those things sure. build up quick. But I thought it was pretty interesting just starting there that you, Will, now myself, we're not the only ones who had this thought process that, hey, let's put a lottery ticket in on the OKC Thunder.
Yeah, no, that is interesting. And it's kind of, as the course of the day, I got to give more of the credit to Will because he was the one where this was really Wednesday. The course of the day, Wednesday, I think it was. Yeah, we had Will on a numbers game early in the morning. And we were kind of talking just through the Western Conference playoff scenarios. We did later on Wednesday. We've done multiple times. Everybody's been doing all season, right? What's going to happen in the West? And it was Will just kind of pointing out that he thought that the Thunder to make the playoffs was a good bet. And we later on Hardwood Handicappers kind of discussed the same thing, right? Where we kind
of, and that was one of those two where I went on with Mitch and Paul, I think it was Tuesday, and brought that up to them too. The two that I was looking at were them to make the playoffs. And by the way, participate in the West play-in, which was +130 at the time. And also the Mavericks to miss the playoffs was one that I also brought up to them, but continue.
And then on Wednesday, when we did this podcast, we talked about the Thunder. I talked about the Thunder. And we talked about the Timberwolves missing out, right? So it was already, all three of us were clearly already thinking about it. And then like 2 hours later, I get a text from Will. He's like, dude, I just bet the Thunder to win the West. And I'm sitting on my couch watching games. And I'm like, all right, let me just shop around numbers. Because one of the, for everybody listening to this podcast who's not in Nevada and you get the luxury of having all these other beautiful sports books to work with, 98% of the time, you're going to have better and more options on stuff to bet than what we're dealt with here.
Correct.
But when it comes to things like futures and some stuff like that, like, I mean, this happens all the time for me at golf, JVT, where like, there are outrights that are wildly different book to book, and I can get way longer odds than I would be able to at a DraftKings or a FanDuel or whatever. But like, that's the same kind of thing when we look at some of these like NBA futures, right? And that was, I started chopping around. I saw 45-1 at Circa. And I saw 500-1 at MGM here in town. It was like, all right, yeah, I'll throw a few bucks in on this. And look, I want you to discuss the rest of the article. But I, you know, for me, it's not. Do I think they're going to win the West? No, I don't think they're going to win the West. But I don't need them to win the West to make money off that ticket, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, and so that was like the final point in the article that I actually made here. So one of the things that I really wanted to focus on when I was writing it, right? So I kind of almost broke it down in like three different ways as the article goes around. And the first one is discussing what you and Will both brought up similar points, and it's the most obvious point to make, which is the conference around them, the mm-hmm. picture of the conference as a whole. And I went through and pointed out for each team, right, you know, in my article, for example, Denver, they have slipped to 17th in non-garbage time defensive efficiency. They're going to bring one of the worst transition defenses in the NBA into the postseason. They are 24th in opponent points added per 100 possessions through transition offense and 28th in transition defensive efficiency off live rebounds. So opponents essentially improve their offensive efficiency per 100 possession through their transition offense against Denver, and off live rebounds, teams are ripping and running and having a lot of success against the Denver Nuggets. I went to Memphis. Memphis, right? Multiple injuries to the front court. Remember, Brandon Clark's done for the season. Yep. Steven Adams might Right. Yeah. We might come back at the start of the regular season, but you have no idea. And you want to point out something factual, statistical, hard evidence? How about this? The Grizzlies, they're 21st in half-court offensive efficiency. They've not been good in half-court settings at all. They're 24th in both overall three-point shooting and non-corner three-point shooting. So yep. those are some massive weaknesses for them on offense. Do we need to start with the Golden State Warriors? Right, everybody points to their road record, which is true. How about mm-hmm. this? Do we always focus, Kelly, on the road record? Yep. Well, why is the road record so bad? You want to know why? Because they have the third worst non-garbage time road defensive rating in the NBA. The yeah. only two teams that give up more points per 100 possessions in non-garbage time on the road this season than the Golden State Warriors, the Houston Rockets, and the San Antonio Spurs. We're scared of that team? The Sacramento Kings, as you pointed out in your thing, right? They might lead the league in non-garbage time offensive efficiency. They're 25th in defensive efficiency.
Yep.
And so I think that's where you start, which is, okay, if we're starting to make the argument of why is it worth putting a lottery ticket in on the Oklahoma City Thunder, it's almost like a lawyer thing, right? Let's start breaking down the other teams first. Let's look at all of their flaws. You're right.
It's the prove it to me with, you know, with stats and back it up with something, arguments of why this team doesn't have a chance, right? Like that's the, because our argument is, for the main part is, look around the rest of the Western Conference and what do these teams don't have question marks? There's a lot of major injury concerns. That one, I mean, we can't leave that part out either.
Right.
But a lot of major injury concerns with a lot of these teams. And then there's a lot of these teams that it seemingly everybody just expects to flip a switch, right? And they're going to be fine and perfect in the playoffs. And I'm including the Warriors in that. And I'm including the Suns in that. And probably only those two teams. But Dallas hasn't looked great since Kyrie has come over. Like, that's been another issue. I know Luka's missed a lot of those games. But still, that's another team that's going to suffer defensively when both those guys are on the court.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole argument. I think people can laugh. People can chuckle about the bet and whatever if they want. That's fine. I don't think you, myself, or Will are expecting to be sitting here claiming, you know, cashing in the 500-1, but we think it's got a much better chance than those 500-1 odds dictate.
Well, and how about this? This is what my whole point wanted to be, right? So I started with that, but I wanted to make sure we built the case for Oklahoma City, not just looking at the case against all of the teams in the Western Conference. Mm-hmm. And so in the story, I actually used one of your quotes as a jumping off point. Because, you know, one of the things that we talked about that you sent over to me was how they're allowing the fourth fewest points per 100 possessions since the start of March. And if you bring it back to the start of 2023, the team ranks sixth in the NBA in net rating. So I went through some of their numbers. And the way I set it up in the story was like the Thunder actually might be a decent team. How about this? The Oklahoma City Thunder, I don't think people realize this. They are 11th for the season in non-garbage time defensive efficiency. They're only giving up 114.2 points per 100 possessions in non-garbage time. They are nearly a top 10 defense in the NBA for the year, not just since the start of 2023, not just since the start of March, for the year. And also for the year, Kelly, they are second, not like second to last, second in defensive turnover rate. They force turnovers on 16.2% or 16.6% of opponent possessions, right? Which leads to what? An efficient offense off yes. of steals and in the easy fast buckets. Break, which they do very well. And they allow the fourth fewest points per 100 plays in half-court settings. So essentially, they are the fourth best half-court defense in the NBA. They are the 11th best overall defense in the NBA. And they are the second best defense of forcing turnovers in the NBA. How are those not qualities of a team that could potentially do something in the NBA?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we'll get to their offense in a minute, but that's, I mean, that is, you're talking about having a quality level defense on all aspects of the court, right? Of everywhere you need to have good defensive play. I mean, what the one that I would guess, I don't have the numbers in front, but the one I would guess is, look, based off of their roster, they're probably going to get beat up inside by, you know, teams that are bigger than them and have centers that they can kind of go to. Yes, mm-hmm. I would assume that's going to be one of their problems once you get into the playoffs. And Nikola Jokic, for example, is going to go to town on a team like that. But what you pointed out both about Denver earlier, you know, and this Oklahoma City team is, okay, cool, but as soon as they miss a bucket, Thunder are out and running. Or if they cause a turnover, they're out and running, and right. Jokic can't get his big ass down the court to catch up to that team, right? So I think it's those kind of things. You start there with the defense, and then it's fine. I think that's the thing is that people just don't realize. They don't realize how good of a defense this team actually has. Mm-hmm. Because when you go to look at the offense, I think by now people know how good SGA is, but I think they look at it as this is one guy who's getting all the shots he wants on a crappy team, so it doesn't matter. It's an Allen Iverson on crappy team situation. You go out, roll the ball out, and SGA, you take as many shots as you want. And that might be true to a degree, but there's other players on here that just people don't, I don't think they know enough about. You know, they just don't know enough about. It's the Jalen Williams of the world. It's the Josh Giddey's of the world. It's the Lou Dort's of the world that still, I don't think, get talked about enough of how good of players they actually are.
And here's the thing. So to the last couple of points about their defense, to your overall point when we were talking about this team, more feathers in their cap. Eighth in rim defense. Opponents are shooting just 64.9% within 4 feet of the basket against them. For a small team, it's pretty
good. That's incredible. That's great. Okay.
Yeah, well, so the weakness is, like you said, are they 28th in defensive rebounding rate? Yeah. Are they going to give up a lot of offensive rebounds and putbacks? Sure. Yeah, sure. And they have trouble fouling. They foul a lot. They are 24th in opponent free throw rate, or opponents make 22.6 free throws every 100 field goal attempts. So they're pretty low on that end. It's not a perfect team by any stretch. But there are actually a lot of really, like, strong points that you can look at and say, they have this. This is really working for them. And to your point, too, and that was the other thing that was kind of like the third part of the article that I pointed out, was they have something that nobody else has. They have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the fourth leading scorer. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander ranks in the 94th percentile at his position in points per shot attempt. So he's not even doing it inefficiently. He's not a volume scorer. He's doing it with efficiency. And then you, like, to your point, too, about the other positions. Lukas Dort is an awesome defender. The dude is huge. He locked down Kawhi Leonard the other night on the final possession and did not let him breathe and get a shot off. He's done it to Luka Doncic at the end of games as well this season, not allowing him to get a shot off. He's going to be able to do that to a lot of people. You look at Jalen Williams, who you talked about.
He's a linebacker out there. Can I
say really quick? Last summer league, when I was at summer league, for those who don't know, like, there's a Thomas and Mack underneath the arena. There's a small door that you have to go through to get out, you know, to the like parking lot for media and everything like that. And it's down in the tunnel. And so I go to get out, Kelly, and I run smack into Lou Dort. Like, the dude is, he's already 6'4", so he's like 3 inches taller than me, but he's
built like a huge tank.
He had to turn at an angle to get through the door. And it's not like I was in the door. It's just a standard width door, but like he is giant. So like, he's awesome, and he's athletic. He can defend at a really high level. But like you mentioned too, Jalen Williams is averaging 19 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists per game on 55% shooting over his last 20 games. So he's coming on strong.
And by the way, around 40% from three, too? Like, that's
43%, yep. And here's the other thing. Josh Giddey ranks in the 100th percentile at his position in assist rate and the 96th percentile in defensive rebounding rate. So they have all of these really young, talented kids who are on this roster who are not going to quit if they make it into the postseason. Right now, after their loss to the Clippers the other night, they get knocked out into the 11th seed right now. They're all tied up together. So one win's going to put them right back in. It's why this game tonight, matter of factly, is very important for them against the Los Angeles Lakers. It's a winnable game, and they have to win it to get the tiebreaker from LA. But like, this is a team that, like, again, to your overall point, and this is how I ended the article, right? If you go back, Sports Odds History's database, it goes back to 1972. The 2010-2011 Dallas Mavericks and the 94-95 Houston Rockets both were 18-1. They were the longest odds prior to the first round of teams who won the NBA Finals, okay? So the point is that the NBA, you don't really get Cinderella runs. You don't get these big underdogs like in the Super Bowl, or excuse me, in the NFL. You don't get like the Ravens or Giants who go on the road for every single game, get hot out of nowhere, rip off four wins, and all of a sudden they win the Super Bowl. You're not going to get that. However, as I point out in my article, last year the Celtics at one point were 80-1 to win the NBA Finals, had a lead in that series. The Atlanta Hawks in 2020-2021 were 65-1 to win the Eastern Conference Finals, and they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yep, I had a big ticket there.
Yep,
I had a big ticket on this one too.
Yep, I had them at I think you and I both. I had them at 80-1 to win the NBA Finals the year they made it to the Orlando bubble. Like it's not so much about them winning everything; it's about them having some upward mobility and winning a series or two and finding a way to get something out of this, as opposed to expecting to cash this thing. We should also include the Dallas Mavericks run to the Western Conference Finals last year. That kind of came out of nowhere. They were 14. I had them at 14-1 to win the West at one. You know what I mean? Like it was, we see this all the time. We just need a little bit of a run in a series or two. And in a West that is wide open, why can you not get a series win or two from the Oklahoma City Thunder?
Yeah, that's it. You broke it down. You just, I mean, we just broke it down. That's it. There's, I'm sorry, you can argue all you want with me. I will not sit here today and believe that they can't win one or two series. And if you win two series in the Western Conference playoffs, then we're making money. Like, we're making good money at that point.
Yep. So I think, like you said, we're not the only ones who thought it, but it's an interesting story, and we'll keep track of this. And I they're a fun team. That's the other part. They're a fun young team, and they're going to be a pain in the butt.
Wait till they get Chet back next year. Oh, man, this is going to be such a fun team to watch. Are you kidding me with the length on it? The other one, for people wondering out there, and I don't know if you have a ticket on that. Do you have a ticket on them to make the playoffs? Did you make that bet too? The Thunder.
To participate in the West play-in.
In the play-in. Okay, I remember you talking about that. Okay, so my plan to do, what's funny is I scooped up that number the other night because of the number. Because it was a rogue, right? And I had a feeling it would get adjusted. It did. It got adjusted at MGM. That number went down. I haven't bet anything on them to make the playoffs or to participate in the play-in because what I did was look at the schedule and I said, you know what? I'm going to wait till after this next Clippers and Lakers game, and I'm going to bet them to make the playoffs then because I had a feeling it's probably a split situation at best. So my number's not going to get worse. So people might think it's a little crazy. Like, yeah, I bet them to win the Western Conference, but I haven't even bet them to make the playoffs yet. It's waiting on just timing of those odds. And that's where I'm waiting till after tonight, JVT, when they're on the back-to-back game with Lakers, coming off the game last night against the Clippers. I'll wait till after tonight because I think they are right. They are rightful dogs in this game tonight. I'll wait for after tonight. And even if I'm getting a worse number somehow, I'll bet it tomorrow for them to make the playoffs.
All right, so with that, some other news that we want to hit before we get to maybe some of the games. By the way, as we're talking about this, somebody responded to my article, and because I put in the tweet, it was something along the lines of, like, my money says, why not, right? Like, yeah, why not? somebody was like, yeah, you're $5, come on. And I responded, I'm like, $20. Like, yeah, it's not, like, I'm not putting $1,000 on the Thunder at 500-1 to win the NBA Finals. Like, of course not. I know you want to make a smart comment, but think for 5 seconds about what we're talking about here. There can be nuance to a topic like this. You know what I mean?
What's funny is that's when even when you texted me about writing up something yesterday, I'm like, I started it the way I started it for a reason. Where it's like, the bet isn't for the, like, we're not sitting here on a mountaintop saying this is the team that's going to the NBA Finals from the Western Conference. All we're about is making money with what we're doing at this network and on this podcast and a 500-1 ticket. All you got to do is win a round or two for you to start making money on that.
And there's still a potential for them to be a six seed. Like having 500-1 on a team win the NBA Finals was a six seed in the West. Like, okay, I'll take it. Mm-hmm. And you know,
just real quick, that's why I'm betting them to make the playoffs and not the play-in tournament. And I know you made that bet, a little bit while back. But I'm betting them make the playoffs because I do think there's still a slim chance that they end up as the sixth seed and they don't even play in the play-in tournament.
Right. Yep. Absolutely. Okay. So other news, we won't spend a lot of time on this. I just thought this was funny. So we get a report the other day that LeBron James is maybe on his way to playing the final week of the regular season. This is from ESPN. Dave McMenamin and Adrian Wojnarowski. LeBron James progressing toward a comeback from his right foot injury, increasing optimism that the Lakers star could return to play a few games in the final week of the regular season. James, who suffered a tendon injury in his right foot, has resumed on-court activity and is on a gradual basketball movement progression. The Lakers announced on Thursday. LeBron James has since pushed back on this report. There wasn't an evaluation today, and there hasn't been any target date for my return. I'm just working around the clock every day to give myself the best chance of coming back at full strength, whatever that is. God bless your sources. I speak for myself. The Lakers announced it.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? And then what I find funny is like Russell Westbrook, Robert Griffin III responded. It was like, yeah, players taking control of their narratives. I'm like, the team announced it. What are we doing?
Oh, it's silly. I love the like, I love the player tweets to like correct something when it's like, don't give me that attitude. Like you're going to start announcing every piece of information from your own Twitter account that applies to you. You know what I mean? Right. Like it's kind of like, I feel like there's always that attitude behind it with some of these guys, like, you know, Aaron Rodgers, probably another example, right? Where it's like you're trying to eliminate the media from, I'm sorry, a business is never going to be eliminated. Like it's right. Just Draymond Green, right? That's his big thing, right? That's his big thing too, is he's going to have the players doing all the media stuff. It's like, yeah, that's not how this works. It's never going to work that way. Like, I'm sorry, but it's never going to work that way. Like,
don't get me started on Draymond and his weird like faux documentary about socking Jordan Poole in the face and like how all of a sudden like he was the victim. I was like, wow, this is some
bizarre crap. Yeah, exactly. Inside the mind of a megalomaniac. Like, yes.
Right. So the what's it called? So that's it. Like that's all that was worth pointing out. We'll see. The Lakers, right now, as we record this on Friday, they are in control of the 9 seed. But as we talked about with OKC, to kind of bring everything a little full circle, both them and OKC are 36-37 and have split the season series so far. So a win today for Oklahoma City would give them the tiebreaker, or any win. Like the Lakers would give them a tiebreaker, the Thunder would give them a tiebreaker. So.
This kind of rolls off of what we've been discussing with the Thunder. But look, if you're, you know, someone out there that's listening to this, like if you have the same kind of conviction in a team like the Lakers or a Pelicans even, mm-hmm. that we kind of do with the Thunder, you can make the same kind of bets. You're not going to get the same odds. They're going to be a little shorter, but it still goes to our overall point about the Thunder is just look for a team that has some kind of upward trajectory, right? And I think that you can make that case for the Lakers, especially LeBron is going to come back at some point before the playoffs. I think you can make that argument. And, you know, I don't want to say it too loud, JVT, because I'm not getting back on this train right after I just hopped off of it. But even the Pelicans are starting to string together some wins here recently, right? So, like, you know, I've kind of jumped off that train. But if someone at home right now is like, whoa, I'd rather do the Pelicans over the Thunder. Like, okay, like whatever. I at least think there's some upward mobility there that you can make an argument for.
And relax on the Pelicans. Congrats on your wins over the Hornets, Spurs, and Rockets. And Trailblazers.
You ain't getting there. And JT ain't getting there on it.
Well, I mean, who knows? I could be wrong.
Yeah, right. I told you, man, I'm off that train now too. I don't, it always belongs. It was always with the belief that Zion was going to come back, and I don't know when the hell that's ever going to happen.
Yeah. All right. So with that, we move on. Let's see, where are we at right now time-wise? Let's take a quick break. On the other side, there's a couple more things we should hit on, first of which is just very quickly, the most annoying team in the NBA has started to string together some success and is holding on to a playoff seed out of nowhere. And then we can get to the Friday slate of games as well before that. Big injury news in Philadelphia that we should probably hit on as well. That's coming up next here on Harvard Handicappers.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events... you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here are three reasons Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. We use food-grade ingredients. We have a wide selection of varieties, and they all come in two strengths. Find Zyn at a store near you.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
All right, Kelly, the most annoying team in the NBA, Miami Heat. Your guys, what do you think, huh? Sixth seed in the Eastern Conference. They've won 7 out of 10 games. Are we at the point? Do the Cleveland Cavaliers, do any of these teams want to see the Miami Heat in the postseason? Michael Lombardi the other day told me when we were when he was doing a hit with them, he told me that the Heat would beat the 76ers in a playoff series. And I was like, yeah, I don't know about that one, Michael.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think you and I are always going to be on the side. You know, I won't speak for you, JVT. You can speak for yourself. I will always be on the side of, yes, the Miami Heat are one of, if not the best run organizations in the NBA. They have one of the best front office down to head coach systems in place. I love Eric Spoelstra. Flat out, I think they lack the talent to compete in the Eastern Conference. It's as simple as that, and especially on the offensive side of the ball. The defense, I don't really doubt. I don't doubt that they could be. They are an Eastern Conference champion level defense. For the past 2 years, I think you or 3 years even. I mean, it's the bubble season was you had the bright side of what could this team maybe be offensively. Mm. Now we've seen it over the past couple years, and I think we've seen the ceiling of where it can get to. And that ceiling doesn't scare me. It doesn't scare me if I'm the Bucks, the Celtics, the Sixers, or even the Cavs. I'm not scared.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Now, they are a team that will drag you down to their level and make you play their S. I don't want to curse because I don't want to make Steven come back and edit this, but they're crappy basketball. I will say this. You and I were discussing, I think more so, they're 1.5 games back from Cleveland, and they do have to surpass the New York Knicks. They have one game left with New York, and if they can force a split in the four games they played, I believe the tiebreaker would then go to divisional winner, and the Knicks are not going to win their division. The Heat will, though, and so if they end up with the same record, Miami and New York would then flip, and you can get Miami in the 5 seed. I'm not sure Cleveland wants to see Miami. I'm also, like, I've just had kind of some doubts about Cleveland throughout this entire year. Miami would be able to defend them actually at a pretty high level. Like, if I would disagree with Michael as somebody who really believes in the 76ers, I would disagree with him in the sentiment that the 76ers would lose to them. But if you're saying, can the Heat win a playoff series? I would say yes. And I think their best opportunity would be to move up and play Cleveland.
Yeah. You'd rather, I mean, without a doubt, they stand a better chance against Cleveland than 76ers. I just don't think they win either series, right? It's all about matchups. I think those bigs on Cleveland would be problematic for Miami. Bam's amazing, but that's what we've talked about all year. I mean, the combination of Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, I think it throws a lot at those guys. Do they have the guys to possibly slow down Donovan Mitchell? Absolutely. I think that's what this defense has made. This defense is made to kind of slow down those wing stars and those guards who are stars in the NBA. The one thing that we've seen from Cleveland, the one thing where I give them credit this year, JVT, is that they've had consistently, almost all season long, a top 10 level offense and defense, right? Like, there's not, I have concerns about their depth. I think that's where they're going to get burnt when they the playoffs. You know, when Donovan Mitchell really does, when he comes off the court, are these guys really going to be able to step up and supply the scoring that's needed to put this team over the edge? No, that's where I have my concerns, but I think they belong. I think there is a top, it's a top four in the Eastern Conference to me, and then a drop off after that. I mean, there's a top two in the Eastern Conference and a drop off after that. But there's another drop after four to me that's pretty sizable.
Yeah, I think it's more about the matchups, like you mentioned. I think defensively they would be able to match up with Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland. I think that Jimmy Butler and company would go after Darius Garland almost every single possession that they possibly can and force him to defend. And I also think that with Miami and the way they play with their bigs, like part of the strength for Cleveland is that they can kind of congest the paint with their two big guys, and Evan Mobley's a pretty decent perimeter defender. Well, Jared Allen's going to be out on the perimeter a lot more with Bam Adebayo because they run a lot of stuff out there with those handoffs and stuff, and opens up the floor for other guys. And Kevin Love is now playing power forward for them, right? So that's going to be something that I think helps them space the floor. I think from a matchup standpoint, Cleveland would not want to see Miami. That was my whole point.
It's gonna be interesting if Kevin Love ever becomes a thing in the play. Like if that matchup actually plays out, like that is a playoff series. Are we all gonna sit here and be like, what the hell is the point of letting Kevin Love go again? Like you just let him walk to an Eastern Conference foe that you're now playing against, and you're right,
could beat him.
That would hurt them matchup wise in a series like.
Real quick, we do have some breaking news. I don't know if you saw, but when the Mavericks, what game was it Wednesday night? The Mavericks were playing the Warriors, right? Mm-hmm. Luka Doncic and his money gesture toward the refs, he got fined $35,000 for it. So
unbelievable. So same fine as Fred VanVleet, I believe. From
Did you see the update on that story? By the way,
well, from yesterday, right? That the guy got demoted.
He got demoted like a minute ago, and like the NBA was like quietly like, oh yeah, he was right, man. This guy sucks.
So it's one of the, I got to give Gil Alexander some credit, because when we were talking about that story, as soon as Fred VanVleet, you know, the night after he went off on him, and it was Ben Taylor, is that the guy's name?
I think so. I'll make sure. I know there's a Taylor in there, but yeah.
So he was, you know, he was going off on the one official, and that official had three of Fred VanVleet's eight technical fouls this season. The three of them have been called by that guy. And it was, you know, like Gil kind of read into the fine afterward of like, okay, because I think it was Steph had like 50K for the mouthpiece throwing. And then it's you're going to find Steph 50K for that. And Fred VanVleet just went on, you know, I don't want to say national TV, but went on TV, right? And went in front of a podium and ripped not the officiating, a specific official. Like I expected there to be major backlash. So when it was only 35K, Gil kind of ran into it like, well, I think maybe the NBA maybe agreed a little bit with Fred VanVleet's comments. And I think it's actually true. I think that's what ended up happening.
Yep.
He was probably on a watch list already or something like that.
Yeah. Ben Taylor. You got the name right. Ben Taylor. The NBA has actually demoted him in his assignments. So in the last five games from Tom Haberstroh, under the DraftKings umbrella, do we dare call Tom a, we should probably get him on. I'll reach out to him. Yeah. Every once in a while I've seen him. Hey, you know what? I Tom Haberstroh and I have exchanged emails in the past, Kelly. Okay.
So you're BFFs. Sorry, bro.
I like to think we're tight, you know? I'm going to email him. He's like, who is this? In the last five games, Taylor has only been the crew chief once. He's been the referee four times since that game, which is an abnormality with Ben Taylor. If you look at his previous 52 games, Ben Taylor was the crew chief in 41 of those games. Basically, in four out of five games, he was the crew chief. To put it in perspective, Ben Taylor had not been referee two in back-to-back games all season after the Fred VanVleet thing had happened twice. So he is, it's been demoted. It's an interesting development, but good for Fred VanVleet for not putting up with that ish. Because
at a certain point, does Fred VanVleet not be like, so where's some of my money back? You know what I mean? If I was at issues, I'd be like, you just proved that what I said was right. And I know I'm still not allowed to do this. That's why probably the fine was what it was. But I'd be like, give me some of that money back. Give me 20K back.
all right. So before we get out of here, Friday slate. You got anything? I know. Did you put together a parlay? Am I allowed to mention that?
Oh my God. The super chalk parlay. Yeah. Yeah. I did. I threw the Bucks in with some college basketball tonight. I do think that there is Right, look, this Utah team, I think everybody who's been listening to this knows I'm not very high on, but you're talking about Markkanen being out again tonight. No Jordan Clarkson, no Rudy Gay. It's just another one of those where I'm like, who's going to score the basketball, right? I got stuff. And yes, you got Middleton. No Middleton, no Crowder tonight for the Bucks. I just don't think it matters. I mean, Walker Kessler might be able to slow down Giannis a little bit when he gets to the rim, but I don't know. Are they really taking Giannis out of this game? I think Giannis is going to be able to do basically whatever he wants there in Salt Lake tonight. I know a little bit of a look ahead spot, right? Because they do have Denver. Is it Saturday night or Sunday?
It's a
Saturday
back-to-back
night. Yep. That's the only thing I'd be, I guess that's the only reason why I'm not saying I'm laying 8.5 points or 9 points of this game, but I think you're safe to tie that money line in. I'm interested to see what this Sixers Warriors injury report looks like, because that could be a great game tonight. But as we record this podcast, we have really no idea.
Yeah, Joel Embiid and James Harden are the ones. It doesn't sound like Harden's going to play, but Embiid is questionable, more like probable from what I've read.
Okay. Yeah. And that's I'm picking up that vibe as well. The Kings and Suns, it's another one. It's interesting, but I don't really have a betting as far as for a feel for a bet. It would be Kings or nothing for me, but man, the Kings have been a little bit underwhelming here recently, you know, against quality opponents. Like we've had question marks about that all year long, right? It is I've been the guy who's tried to support the Kings of, hey, give them some credit for what they've done this season. But there's no doubt that it's going to be a concern once they get in the playoffs, what their defense is able to do. And against these quality teams, they have looked worse than, you know, beating up on the bad teams in the NBA.
Yep. No, I think you're right. And it's kind of caught up with them defensively. I will say, so you mentioned this game. This is another one of those exercises that I do all the time. Market yesterday really overreacted to the Paul and George injury, right? Like that thing that the Clippers opened up two and a half, and then it closed four. You could really make the argument four was still a playable number there. So now on the second leg of a back-to-back, we saw an overnight of 6.5 here against the Los Angeles Lakers. So again, that's the same number that the Clippers were laying when they had Paul George in the first meeting with the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's down to 5.5. It's already come out. I don't know if he's on the injury report or not, as questionable, but it's already come out that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander plans to play in this game. So I don't think there's any real question about whether or not he's going to be out there.
Yeah,
right.
No report.
So in other words, what I'm saying is I think the market's swinging wildly back and forth here on OKC. I know that you thought that maybe you were, I think, was that going to be a bet, the Lakers, or were you thinking about it?
No. It was just for timing purposes for my yes, no bet on the Thunder.
Oh, okay. So I think
the number's right on that game. So therefore, look, I think the Thunder are an underdog, and I'm going to wait. Then I'm going to wait a day to put a yes bet in on them to make the playoffs.
I think the market's a little high by about, like, it's about a point and a half higher than I made it. So we'll see what
happens. Sure. That's what, yeah. I understand what you're saying. And if you, taking the points in that game tonight, over 5 points, you know, this is another one where, you know what, Don Best doesn't have him listed at all, but then I'm at another site and I do see SGA is questionable.
Well,
so I don't know. I guess check back in.
Well, I just checked the official NBA injury report. Let's see.
And he wasn't on there?
Not yet submitted. So I'm sure that they have that questionable because it's the second leg of a back-to-back.
Yeah.
Dagnall's already said that he's going to play. So unless something transpires, which you never know in the NBA over the next couple of hours, they know how important this game is. He's going to play. They want to make the playoffs. So.
Yep. You always do a great job of kind of tracking what were the numbers in this game when they played a week ago? And I think comparing that to what that Clippers first game was, I think that's a good comp. And yeah, the number's probably a little high. I've got no interest in it tonight, but I hear you. If it was a bet on that spread, yes, it would be Thunder or nothing for me.
Essentially what we're saying here, audience, is are the Lakers without LeBron James only a point worse than the Clippers with Paul George? Mm-hmm. Because that's what this number is telling you right now. Because the Clippers were 6.5 point favorites with Paul George in that game. On was that Tuesday night, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And while they didn't cover, so the market said, and now the market's saying that, oh yeah, you know, only 5.5 here for the Lakers. Not buying it. All right, man, I'm up against it. So I got a skedaddle, but we are all done. Make sure you hit up VSiN.com/subscribe. Had a good podcast episode today. And we will check in with you next week on Monday for Hardwood Handicappers. And make sure you watch us on Live Bet Saturday tomorrow.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.